of consequence. I think that the philosophies of old were much better to help people to live than the one life doctrine that we have been nourishing so arduously recently, if we nourished anything. Of course, even materialism is not generally popular. Everything is questioned. And the most common question is, where do we go from here? A lot of people hope that we don't go anywhere. But it's so possible that they could be wrong. And if they are wrong, they've made the biggest mistake of all. And this is the mistake for which very few people are prepared. Therefore, the virtuous life, not a virtue in the sense just a plain lip goodness, but a deeply integrated, dedicated life, won't do any harm if there is no immortality, and will do a great deal of good if there is immortality. Socrates pointed this out very clearly. He would either go into silence forever, or he would find the answers to the questions that had never been answerable in the material world. So, a lot depends on what we think about that. I would say, generally speaking, that the average person is not really in very good condition to pass on with his present attitudes. Something has to be done about them. Now, the point of value is that whatever he does that improves him now. He doesn't have to wait till he's dead to get his reward. Integrity is enriched character here and now. And the absence of them is a cause of constant consternation and dismay. Therefore, white magic is something we should all definitely try to contemplate and cultivate. White magic is the individual using the divine powers bestowed upon him by an infinite life for the glory of that life, for the good of all creatures, and for the fulfillment of the daily purpose of human existence. We are here to do things that are worth doing, and whether we're remembered for them is not important. The thing that is important is the growth we make within ourselves. White magic is the basis of growth, and black magic is the basis of decay. That which neglects to grow falls behind. That which does not become better must inevitably become worse. So we have a span of years like the mystery temples and schools of antiquity. We are all being initiated into a universal wisdom. It is around the corner. We have carefully avoided it. Why? Because it interfered with human purpose. Our whole idea of greatness was in terms of architecture and statuary. We wanted to have a statue in the forum, and someone said to one of the Roman emperors, why is your statue not in the forum? He said, well, I think I would rather that people ask why my statue is not in the forum than ask why it is. And that's a good answer to a good question. But we are all interested in things that are not permanent. We all hope to get the house paid for before we go. We all hope to leave something to the children. We all do all kinds of things, but we do not really plan a life. We do not make a way of growth. We do not make sure that children are worthy of what we leave them. We are not sure that they will do better with what we have than we have done, which may not be very good. Everything is neglected in principle. And where success is achieved at the expense of principle, it's black magic. And black magic is punishable, not by the courts of law, but by the divine tribunal, or rather by the actual energies themselves that are locked within the living creature. We are all of us given a certain allotment. We have a life allotment of energy to do what we can for all we can while we're here. The idea of wasting this allotment in Las Vegas or something of this kind is very unrealistic. How can we really look around us today and say that we are better than our ancestors? We have in the last 50 years caused more trouble for ourselves and each other than occurred in the previous 2,000 years. because we have greater privileges. We have greater skills. We have greater knowledge. And always the greater evil comes from the abuse of the greater good. So we are now in a very shaky spot. Already we begin to see the ghosts of compensation and retribution arising. We have neglected the realities. And wherever this is happening, we have fallen into black magic. We are also always aware of these false leaders that have led us to punishment and led us to death and war. But in our own little personal lives, we are leading ourselves in the same direction. We haven't the courage to stand up for principles. And if we do not stand up for right principles, we will fall under the penalties of the abuse of principles. Now, this is not punishment in the ordinary sense of the word. It is not something waiting to hurt us. It is not something that says an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. It is not that at all. Compensation in this case is the inevitable reaction of action. It is the law of energy and motion. It is part of the principle of existence, that as we use, so shall we benefit or lose ground as a result of wrong conduct. We are here with an allotment. If we waste our substances or corrupt them, it is not a God that punishes us. It is the disintegration of our own character that punishes us. It is the fact that we become victims of habits and circumstances that are wrong. The rise of crime in the last 50 years is not necessarily due merely to the fact that the law courts are negligible. The rise of crime is due to the fact that more people are abusing more principles for personal greed. This is the problem. And where are the educators? Why are we so proud of the individual who can speak Mongolian, but have no time to waste on an individual who can make a constructive contribution to society? Why are we so proud of ignorance? Most of our problems today are the consequences of black magic taking over the school system. The school system is now used simply to prepare more people to make the same mistakes we are making. We are supposed to prepare individuals to perpetuate our own greed and our own thoughtlessness and our own perversity. We are creating more dummies. And as a result of that, these young people, having no education, turn around and fall into every imaginable crime, which is not because they are necessarily delinquent children, but because they have never received a proper share of the responsibilities of growing up. Now, we can take this same symbolism and use it in connection with our own bodies. We can say that instead of our children, perhaps, we are talking now about our flesh and blood. We have to realize that we are responsible for the proper use of energies. There are things we can't prevent and there are things we can prevent. But in every case, the purpose of civilization is to find ways of doing it better. Now, this doesn't mean bigger computers. It does not mean bigger bombs. It means better use of constructive means to accomplish the growth of society. We are now up to 6 billion. Pretty soon we will be up to 8 billion. And of that 8 billion, 90% will come in and go without the slightest understanding of what life is about. They will not understand what it means to be better. They will not understand that there is anything more important than cash. There is no way of helping these people unless the civilization itself creates what the Oriental calls good karma. As you sow, so shall you reap. And man is in a condition where he is able to see, or should be able to see, that he's making a mess of things. If he can't see that, he really has suffered from a serious astigmatism. He knows what he is doing isn't right, but it interferes with things if he tries to change them. Most of all, it hurts him where he suffers the most, in his pocketbook. It takes away from him certain glamour. He isn't regarded with the same favor by his friends. He isn't serving as many cocktails as he used to. All these things are social adjustments which he's afraid to make. He's afraid he'll lose his job. You've got to get to the basis of the situation, and for the average person of today, the basic change must come in the only place where it can come, and that is in the home. It's the only chance that the parents have to really lay a foundation for the lives of their children is in the first 6 or 8 years of that child's life. If it is neglected up to that point, we have another delinquent on his way to glory. Now, this is a problem you can't legislate. You can't force it. But the problem, as the early educator Comenius put it well, that the most important school in the world is at the mother's knee. As the child receives enlightenment and correction in the first years of life, so it will be. Now we're going a little further into this matter. We're beginning to realize that this example goes back beyond birth, that the child begins to take on the world the moment it exists within the mother's womb, that all the habits, attitudes, and ideas of the parents will affect the child long before it is born. This prenatal influence, as it is now generally referred to, is real. And if this prenatal influence could be changed, probably 75% of juvenile delinquency could be cured. But in order to change, the individual has to live a better life before the child is born, has to have a better consciousness of values when it establishes a family. And all these things interfere with fun. Actually, also, this type of fun interferes with survival. So we have a lot of things to think about in the use of these mysterious psychic forces, energies, these powers which we use in the directing of our magic. Magic is nothing but an actually normal process in nature. Everything is magical. The growth of a flower is magical. The singing of a beautiful song is. The creation of a great work of art. All of these things are part of a divine magic. You see that magic in the perfect formation of the wings of a butterfly. We see this in the scene by the riverside. We see it in the moving streams and in the clouds. Everything we look at, there's something beautiful, something wonderful, something significant, and even the adversities of nature are still magnificent. Even though we cannot appreciate all of them, for the most part, we live in a world that is kind to us. Having this type of world, why can't we perpetuate it? Why cannot we continue to build a civilization that is worthy of the material that has been given to us to work with? Why do we have to struggle year after year to get peace between countries or to get peace between gods? Why do we have to fight so hard to use energies which were intended and created for the purpose of contributing to beauty and well-being? Gradually, for some unknown reason, hard to diagnose, we've become supremely selfish. And every selfish person falls into black magic in one way or another. Can't avoid it. Because selfishness puts our personal desires in front of all other considerations in life. And the more we do that, the more trouble we'll be in. So we can say, what is gray magic now for just a few minutes? Well, gray magic is a kind of middle distance in which an individual can have a smug sense of righteousness while they're doing wrong. That they are just so perfect they can hardly stand it, but nobody can live with them. Gray magic is the realization of duty, but duty done so painfully that no one wants it done. It is actually the problem of covering a great deal of deficiency by a kind of light glamour of I did my best. I tried hard. And everyone else suffered more than I did while I was trying. So we have people who are just trying to be good and making a miserable job of it. And it also, seldom if ever, really cleans up a disposition. The individual trying so desperately to be good may be the worst critic in society. They're always finding something wrong with others and giving thanks they are not like others. And the others wish they were anything but what they are. So green magic is covering a deficiency without admitting it, or by passing over it lightly. The individual says, well, I can't be all bad, I pay all my bills, and I don't go in debt, or my wife and I go to church every Sunday. All these things sound as though the individual was doing pretty well, but he doesn't mention on the side that he's closed for foreclosing a mortgage somewhere. That's just plain business, you don't count that. So that the gray magic is a person who may, in some things, actually behave pretty well, but is covering up something that he doesn't want to change. He doesn't want to be unselfish. He'll be a little bit unselfish. He'll buy a couple of tickets to the fireman's ball or something. But he doesn't really want to go all out for a better world. He wants to go all out for what he wants. And these people become more or less pacemakers. They're the ones that so-called respectable citizens copy and try to do likewise. So I say that gray magic is the covering of large faults with small virtues. It is the individual who hasn't quietly thought through his own personal attitudes towards life. He hasn't become truly honest. He's just honest enough so he won't get caught. The integrities of things are not what count. It's to be borderline, to get as close to trouble as possible and stay out of it. This type of thing, again, is energy. And the whole thing breaks down to one thing. We have one life. We have one life power. We have one tremendous energy. We have this divinely given spark of divinity within ourselves. We are therefore stewards in the garden. We are servants in the house of the Lord. We have this tremendous gift, the gift of divinity. We are divine. We are just as surely divine as the greatest star of the most distant and remote galaxy. Everything is life, one great life. And that great life is here as available to us and to use, with many promises of world peace, of better nations, better health, less poverty, less crime, all these things that would come from doing it right. And white magic is nothing but the acceptance of the responsibility of God-given life, and that this responsibility is something we must face and we must fulfill. And sometime we will be weighed in the balance, like the Egyptian in the papyrus. We shall be weighed in the balance, and we must be considered and judged to be just, to be right. And we must try in our own lives to manifest these things, because every misuse is an inescapable defect. We never get away with it. It may disappear in a mass of circumstances, and we may never see it again. But it's there. And the only way that we can do that is right is to build up our treasures where thieves cannot take them away. We'll end thievery when we are rich in values that nobody can earn except ourselves, and no one can take away from us but our own compromises. So we go back and we see the old timers. We see the magicians of old. We see the old witch doctors mumbling with their bones. We see the courtly courts of Europe, each with a magician, to attempt to achieve what the lord of the house wants. We see everywhere a belief, and we are told now that we must be more careful and not have so many superstitions. These superstitions are not good for us. We shouldn't believe in fantastic things like astrology. Astrology is making the headlines right at the moment. And you might remember, Theodore Roosevelt always had his horoscope on the wall over his desk. All kinds of things like that. And we get worried about this. But we're not worrying as to where the heavy water goes. And we're not worrying properly about what is being done to end various religious confusions. God made one energy, and it's whether a Christian, a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Jew, or a Chinese is embodied in the physical form, but that same one spark of divinity is in every living thing. And regardless of any other thought, that spark of divinity is the basis of a comradeship that can never be broken. It is the basis of an infinite understanding that must come. Maybe not right now, but it's got to come. Because there is only one life. There isn't one life for one sect and another life for another sect, nor is there a God for one sect and another sect. There are 72 names of God, but only one God. Everywhere, we must find these values that are deep enough to rescue us from the small, petty injustices that we constantly wreck upon each other. We've got to find out the facts of life. And where we will pick up a dish of food to eat, this is magic. The digestive system is a mystery we can't solve very easily. We get explanations, but there's still a lot of it we don't understand. We don't understand the life in food. We know it's there. We don't understand why the alchemists, searching for the mystery of the transmutation of metals and elements, finally came to the opinion that Paracelsus held, that the digestive system of the human body is the perfect example of the transmutation of metals. All these things we have. We have all the evidence necessary to solve most of our problems. We won't understand everything, but we would be able to make such improvements as would put a world into existence that we have never thought even possible. But we just drift along, toying with the small circumstances of life, wasting time. We're not educating ourselves. We're not doing anything that we really should be doing. That is, in the majority. A few understand and are working very hard. And it's nice to know that they're increasing in number every day. But they're not a majority as yet. But we are looking forward to a new century in which other things will happen. But in order that they must happen, more people must now and here take on the responsibilities of intelligent living. To make things worthwhile is finally to gain the supreme happiness, a peaceful world in which everyone is doing the thing that he believes, everyone living well with all others, all feuds and jealousies gone. It would bring paradise to earth, and it can be done. But it will only be done when we use the divinity in ourselves to release the God in us into manifestation in the world around us. It is the God in us that must take over the management of our personal lives. And when it does so, it will share this management constructively and properly with the management of all other lives. There is no division of truth, and there is no union of error. The truth can be found always to build and increase and add. Error is forever dividing, separating, and tearing down. We can never bring error together, but we can bring one truth into manifestation. And when we do that, we will have a far better world and a better chance for the peace that we seek for. So each person in some small way, it doesn't have to be anything very startling, but each person in some way should try to realize that he is a kind of garden, and that in his heart has been sowed an immortal seed, the seed of his own glory, the seed of God in him. And it's time for him to keep his garden weeded and take care of that seed and make sure that the seed of truth in his own heart has a chance to grow up and manifest and bear fruit before it is completely choked out by the false values with which we are surrounding ourselves at this time. Magic is always here. Things will always be mysterious, and they can always also be wonderful. It is almost entirely up to ourselves how these things shall go. So I think that we do have something to realize in, use of magic. Magic of healing is going to gradually take the place of all the remedies and dopes with which we are afflicted now. The magic of negation will find honesty and will find who is right. The magic of leadership will give us proper government. The magic of love, enduring homes. The right use of that with which we have been divinely endowed is white magic. It is to do that which was intended and to be rewarded as good and faithful servants instead of allowing ourselves to be kicked around because we reject the very values which would give us permanence. I think we have all this to think about as we come to the end of the century. We have all this to think about as we pass through the years of our own lives. The great magic is the magic of transmutation and transformation. And the Rosicrucian mystics held this to be divinely true, and so did Jacob Boehme, the great German theosophist. It is that the redeeming power, the transmuting power of love, will make all things well, and the poison of hate will gradually cease to dominate in human concerns. But we must change. We cannot have hate and love at the same time. In the Persian mysteries, the two great deities, Ormuzd and Ahriman, were the good and evil principle, the god and anti-god. Actually, in the mythology, they were brothers, born of the same parents, one to save and the other to destroy. And this peculiar symbolism goes down through most of Persian philosophy. But in the end of it all, the brother who was evil, Ahriman, comes back to his brother, almost, and bows before him and kneels before him and says, "I now have had my fill of this. I know you were right. Therefore, I surrender my separate power and return it to you where it belongs." And it's the same thing we have. There is a seed within us of self and not self. There is something that has to do with the better part of ourselves. Then there is something that has to do with our appetites and our desires. Ahriman is the better self. Ahriman is the false self. And after many incarnations and embodiments in which evil tries desperately to destroy good, well, the city of Babylon seems to rise triumphantly over the city of God as described by St. Augustine. In the end, all that is wrong comes and bows before all that is right and says there is but one God, and that God is love. And we might as well begin pretty soon to find these things out. We consider ourselves to be educated people. We believe we know a lot, but we do not know enough yet to be truly kind in the big emergencies of life. And we do not know how to keep faith in the little things in which we could, if we only thought a little, improve our lives, strengthen our homes, and reduce many of the difficulties from which we suffer. We could end waste. We could end privation. We could end all these things if we gave the divine spark that ensouls us the right to fulfill its purposes through the personalities which we call ourselves. So with that type of thought in mind, I think maybe we can all be a little bit better magicians in transforming the negatives of life into something beautiful. A wave of the wand and the flower can bloom. And it is up to us to make sure that in our lives and hearts we are faithful servants of the Spirit in us, that internal seed which wants to grow. And until it has a chance to go, we will never have any peace in our own lives, and we will know that we have any peace in the outside world. That which was created in us flows through us into all others, and the Word that was made flesh becomes the Word that was made soul, and as soul it becomes a universal healer, the medicine, the hope of nations. Well, I guess that's it, folks. Well, I